Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. Dr. Corey joins the program about his fight against the medical Leviathan. And then Lucas Miles, new director of TPUSA Faith, talks about Evangelicals for Harris, a very important conversation. While you're at it, become a member. It's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Also get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Joining us now is Dr. Pierre Corey, an American hero and an overall great man who's just terrific. Dr. Corey, tell us about your what's going on with the stripping of your board certification. This is very noteworthy, and it's obviously political, and it's because of public stances you've taken against the medical regime.
Yeah. So what happened was the American Board of Internal Medicine, where I get a board certification. I think it's important to understand, Charlie, that it's not my medical license. It still actually can cause damage to me in my career, but it's not my medical license. What it is, it's the American Board of Internal Medicine offers board certification. So you pass this higher level test, and then you can call yourself board certified. And it's kind of a badge of distinction, right? It's supposed to offer you some, you know, you're somehow better or smarter or more knowledgeable doctor than those who aren't board certified. And that was traditionally, it was just a mark of distinction. But then they kind of weaponized it. So nowadays, to get onto an insurance plan, you need to be board certified. To work for a large health system or particularly an academic medical center, where I used to be faculty, I was on the verge of being a professor when I left academia, you can't work there without board certification. So it's still somewhat important. But, you know, the board, you know, in the middle of COVID, they passed a misinformation policy. And very soon after that, they accused me, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Paul Marek, of being misinformationists. And they sent me examples of public statements I'd made, and I defended every single one of them. I buried them in data. But, you know, when you get into a data argument, they get to choose which data is more meaningful. I mean, you can't win these arguments. And defended ourselves, I think 60 pages, 170 references. They still voted to remove it. Then they allowed us to appeal, did the same thing. Then finally we had a hearing. Paul and I were in the hearing together. We defended ourselves really well, Charlie. I got to tell you, this is a really important point I want you to understand. Not only when I defended myself before a panel of doctors, my peers, they were deferential, understanding, empathetic, and they knew I knew my stuff, and they knew that I was making a lot of sense and you know, defending my decisions and my statements, and I think they were pretty impressed with me and Paul. And but I got to tell you, that's happened at every hearing I've gone to. I've testified as an expert to defend a number of doctors who have either used ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine or have warned against the vaccines for good reason. And every hearing I've been to, I got to tell you, the doctors who are sitting on that panel, when it comes time to questions, they're very sort of agreeable, deferential. You know, they ask me questions that they want to learn from me. It's been they're actually almost positive experiences. But you know what's going to come next. Even though you were sitting in those panels, that is just fake news. I mean, they're there. They're sitting in a seat. They're being empathetic. But someone above them is making these decisions. I'm just going to finish, Charlie, by saying this was predetermined. I mean, from that first complaint, I was never going to save my boards. This is done to send a message. It sent a message of doctors across the country, if not the world, that this is what happens to you when you form an opinion that goes against the supposed consensus.
So I don't know the answer to this, but to the best of your knowledge, did Dr. Birx or Dr. Fauci, have any of them had their licenses put in question?
Not that I have any knowledge of. I would be surprised if someone in that position of power, you know, those guys make the rules. They enforce the rules. They call the shots. I wouldn't be surprised if this came from Fauci. Who knows? I don't know where it comes from, but I know that this is I strongly believe, Charlie, this was predetermined. There was no way that they weren't going to take us out because we were very vocal. You know, my old organization, the FLCCC Alliance, you know, there at one point, our media sort of viewership was 12 million people a month. And that was just in the U.S. And so we had like a fairly big impact. People followed our work. Our work made a difference. Many, many people followed our protocols. Many physicians followed our protocols. And I believe we saved really an immense amount of lives. And I'm proud of that work.
No, I mean, you save thousands of lives without a doubt. And so for the doctors out there, I mean, this is so unjust. For the doctors out there that were telling their patients not to take ivermectin, not to take hydroxychloroquine, do not supplement with vitamin D, don't take baby aspirin, don't take Z-Packs, which showed to have some efficacy, don't take any of these sort of interventions. Instead, just stay at home and then if necessary, go to the hospital and go on a ventilator. Have any of them been looked into for stripping their board certifications? And of course, I know the answer is no. So we have an unnecessary 700,000 to 800,000 people that died because of the lack of early treatments. Is that a fair number, Dr. Corey? And no one has been held accountable. But instead, yeah, go ahead, please.
I think the vast majority of lives truly attributed to COVID could have been prevented with an aggressive early treatment campaign. I mean, I would have done what like some states in India did, like Uttar Pradesh. I mean, that was a miracle in public health achievement. Yep. They widely distributed testing, early treatments. They started with hydroxychloroquine. They switched to ivermectin later, and they had immense amount of immensely low mortality. They had the best numbers ever. And in fact, they effectively eradicated COVID at one point in late 21 through this aggressive program. And so we know what they achieved there. It could have been achieved here with all the things that you mentioned, Charlie, like the vitamin D, early treatment, number. It's not just ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. We have data now to show that there's actually 39 different effective interventions that help improve outcomes with COVID. But, you know, those who promoted it, you know, we were all criticized for because the science apparently wasn't there. And that's just not true. I mean, you know what happens to drugs that threaten the profit potential of the pipeline stuff, the vaccines, Paxlovid, and Molnupiravir. Whenever you have that science, you see essentially disinformation campaigns being run in medical journals as well as the media to send a message that these things are ineffective and they use faulty, fraudulent science to do that. And the media carries it in headlines. And I mean, we should have had a national vitamin D supplement campaign, Charlie. Every man, woman, and child should have their vitamin D check. We know there's massive vitamin D deficiency in this country. And we know how the science shows you that if you have a sufficient vitamin D level, you do not die from COVID. And so it's been an endless sadness watching, you know, captured federal agencies and government, you know, run by essentially the pharma industry, you know, completely control our response. And that response was woefully ineffective, if not criminally ineffective.
Just so everyone understands, during the lockdowns, there was some lunatic neighbor where I was staying at during that time. And I was like, hey, you know, going outside, getting the sun in Arizona is good for you. They said, no, the CDC says I should stay at home. I was like, no, you know, going for a walk and getting sun is objectively a good thing for your health. We were telling people to stay locked down to get their vitamin D levels lower, which was the worst thing we could have done for their health. And don't go to the gym, don't eat well. And then we punish courageous truth tellers like Dr. Corey, and then we reward and promote the cons and the crooks and the liars. I want you guys to check out Dr. Corey's book, The War on Ivermectin. It's just terrific. In the next segment, Dr. Corey, I know that it's a little bit of a lighthearted issue, but it's accelerating, which is the media spooking us about monkeypox. And they're saying, oh, no, now you can get it outside of just having, you know, not necessarily being in weird lifestyle choices during Pride Month. There's other ways to now get it, where they're saying that you can now get it through respiratory, transmission. This is potentially the new scare, everybody. But first, check out Dr. Corey's book, The War on Ivermectin, The Medicine That Saved Millions and Could Have Ended the Pandemic, by Dr. Pierre Corey, who is being targeted for telling the truth. Isn't that an interesting theme right now in America? The liars and the frauds and the people who deceive for a living are never held accountable. But the people who tell the truth, they throw everything at you. Dr. Pierre Corey is with us. The monkeypox scare is supposed to freak you out. NBC News says Sweden confirms a case of monkeypox, the first reported infection of the strain outside of Africa. By the way, they no longer call it monkeypox. They now call it mpox. They said that was racist. It's weird. If you think calling something a monkey is racist, maybe you're the racist. I mean, what, these people are unbelievable, actually. Let's play cut 179.
Today, the emergency committee met and advised me that, in its view, the situation constitutes a public health emergency of international concern. I have accepted that advice. The detection and rapid spread of a new clade of mpox in eastern DRC, its detection in neighboring countries that had not previously reported mpox, and the potential for further spread within Africa and beyond is very worrying. In addition to other outbreaks of other clades of mpox in other parts of Africa, it's clear that a coordinated international response is essential to stop these outbreaks and save lives.
Okay, so Dr. Corey said this. Dr. Corey, does a regular person walking on the side of the street have to worry about getting mpox?
You know, you didn't used to, right? The modes of transmission were quite unique. You had to be a certain type of person doing a certain type of sexual activity. But, the challenge now, right, is we're being a walk. Washington media that is warning us of a severe pandemic breaking out of a new strain. I don't know enough. I have not been able to look into the study. Scientific studies coming out yet on this particular strain. So I'm dealing with data from the media, but it does seem like it's spreading. There's a lot of cases in Africa, particularly. I think in Congo there was. They reported 14,000 cases and 450 deaths. So it doesn't seem a benign thing. But again, I have to be cautious here, Charlie. What is this, COVID 2.0? I mean, is this going to be the same playbook that we saw, which is scare everyone through the media, start to threaten we need a coordinated response? What's the next word we're going to hear? Lockdowns over mpox? And then we're going to they're going to roll out a vaccine and try to sell us a vaccine. And, I want to be careful because I am a serious physician. I want to be ethical. So I don't want to sort of send a message that this can be dismissed and it's all just media fear mongering. But at the same time, I want to be sensible and say we've seen this before. We've seen, immense fear mongering. Giving control to health agencies then dictate and interfere with our lives in such a way that they actually made the response to the last pandemic worse than it otherwise would have been had we been able to keep those freedoms. And so I'm speaking as a physician, and I'm also I have political concerns here. I mean, the transfer of wealth that occurred and the domination of the medical system and industry and the loss of autonomy over physicians on how to respond to a virus really has me concerned. But let me leave you with a more positive message on this, Charlie, is like I said in the last segment, if you go to this website called c19early.com, it's this fantastic example of excellent science. It's a repository of all of the clinical trials and studies on over 40 different therapies and interventions for COVID. And it's an anonymous group of phenomenal scientists. You can tell by the quality of their work. And so we have so many different things that worked against COVID that have antiviral properties. And so even if mpox became, really a concern, a worry, or a threat, I'm going to tell you, me and my colleagues are going to come up with a protocol. We have a lot of things to choose from. I hate to bang the same drum, but if you look at ivermectin, it's been shown in vitro to work against so many RNA viruses. Now, mpox is a double-stranded DNA virus. But there's been a few DNA viruses that ivermectin been shown effective against. So can ivermectin pull off another, you know, I don't want to say miracle, but, you know, pull off another amazing feat as protecting us against this particular virus. But if it's not ivermectin, it can be any other dozens of things. You already mentioned the importance of vitamin D. If we get really aggressive with our vitamin D, there's nutraceuticals that have broad antiviral properties like Nigella sativa, yep. Quercetin. So, I mean, I could go on all day, yep. But potential therapeutic options. But again, I would have to more deeply study it. But the message is just, I want to give a more simple message, which is that let's not freak out. Let's watch the freedoms that I'm afraid that they're going to infringe upon. And let's remember that there is no disease you cannot treat. And that we have, I know lots of really good doctors. My partner, Paul Marek, and I, we can get our heads together and give some, I think, sound advice to protect people.
Dr. Corey, excellent. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And we'll have you on soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. You've asked and MyPillow listened. They're finally bringing you the most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. MyPillow is made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. It helps keep your neck aligned and holds its shape all night long so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. Get their six-piece kitchen and bath towel set for only $25, the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98, and their famous MyPillow bed sheets for as low as $25 and so, so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. Don't delay. Order today. Use promo code Kirk at checkout. That is promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Check it out right now. Wonderful organization, MyPillow.com.
Joining us now is the new director of TPUSA Faith. Great man. It is Pastor Lucas Miles. Lucas, welcome to the program. Lucas, I want to go into depth here about this new coalition that has been formed. It is called Evangelicals for Harris. You were on the Zoom call. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, I was able to listen in. It was a public call. And look, there's no such thing as Evangelicals for Harris, right? This is an oxymoron. This is, this is no different. Other people have said this. It's Jews for Hitler, right? I mean, this is really what we're talking about here. On this call, it was hosted by a woman named Ekamini Uwan. And she's made multiple statements in the past that she herself is not an evangelical. She said that evangelicalism is all about whiteness, and that's something that she doesn't identify with. And so it was a very interesting person to host the call to start with. The call was just a slew of liberation theology, Marxist ideology, identity politics, you know, LGBT, you know, queer theory, as well as sort of an appropriation of Billy Graham trying to claim, you know, by one of his granddaughters that he would somehow support Harris. So it was 2 hours of really, really disturbing conversation. But I stomached my way through it for the American people and for you, Charlie. And here I am.
Thank you. I was texting Lucas throughout it. I said, Lucas, you got to get through this whole thing. He said, this is going to take a lot of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. You needed all of them to endure this Evangelicals 100%. For Harris. So Lucas, you mentioned this one term here. I know what it is, but to be honest, I don't know it nearly as well as I should. It's been a couple of years since I've kind of gone into these waters, if you will, and navigated the choppy waters of liberation theology. What is liberation theology? And contrast that with a traditional, rigid interpretation of the scriptures.
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, it's important to understand that Marxism and critical theory really made a play for the church, specifically in the Catholic Church first, before it even tried to come into the state here in America. What we saw was in Latin America, there was a priest by the name of Gutierrez in the 1950s, roughly, that married Marxist ideology with Catholicism and gave birth to what he called liberation theology. Now, there's been some famous liberation theologians along the way. Probably the most notable one today is the current Pope. Pope Francis was trained in liberation theology. This is not, you know, me as a conservative putting this term that it's a Marxist ideology. This is liberation theologians claiming Marxist ideology. They use the term, they quote Marx, they quote all the thinkers in the critical theory space in order to kind of bring that in there. Essentially, it is think of it this way, it's CRT, critical race theory, but from a spiritual lens. There is a special grace upon the poor, upon, if you're talking about Black liberation theology, upon Blacks, that does not fall upon whites or, you know, people who are you know, people who aren't people of color. And so this jumped over to America. There's a guy by the name of James Cone, African-American thinker. He was brought into the Obama White House. He was actually a tenured professor not too far from where I live, up in Adrian, Michigan, is where he was at. And he was sort of the father of Black liberation theology here in the U.S. He said some really, you know, just very, very disturbing things in his writings. I've read his works extensively. He said things like, you know, throwing a Molotov cocktail into Whitey's storefront is not the only way to do the will of God, but somebody has to start somewhere. He said things like that we have to crucify the white Jesus, or that all people have to become Black in order to become saved. A lot of language like this. And so liberation theology is sort of the central tenet to this quote unquote evangelicals for Harris that we're seeing right now.
Let's hear it for ourselves. So this is this woman. I want to make her name right. Ekamini Uwan. Okay. So
you did better than me.
Her speaking in some. Yeah, I'm trying my best. She's trying her best here. I try my best. I was reading this here. She talks here at length. It's a dialogue all about whiteness, and that whiteness is rooted in plunder. So here's the best way that you guys can understand this, is they apply secular, I think, demonic teachings of Marxism,
yeah,
and then infiltrate Christianity and exploit certain teachings of Christianity that might appear to an untrained theological eye to be consistent with Marxism. Of course, they're not, such as be compassionate, help the downtrodden, serve the poor, which of course we should do. And they ignore all the rest, which is natural law, truth, God's standards, falling from grace, depraved nature of humanity, God's distinctions. They ignore all of that, but they exploit maybe 5% of the scriptures for their own political agenda. And then on top of that, they completely misinterpret and misunderstand exactly how Christians should act because of those things. Let's play cut 183.
So then when we talk about white identity, then we have to talk about what whiteness is. Well, the reality is that whiteness is rooted in plunder, in theft, in slavery, right? Enslavement of Africans, genocide of Native Americans. We're sitting on stolen land. If you're in America, we're sitting on stolen land everywhere in America. This is the reality of land that was stolen from Native Americans. We have to recognize that and acknowledge that. So that is not, so it's a power structure is what whiteness is. And so the thing for white women in this, because we're women in here, to do is to, you have to divest from whiteness. You have to divest from whiteness, because what happened was that your ancestors actually made a deliberate choice to rid themselves of their ethnic identity.
Okay, so that is one of the individuals. She is the special speaker and the event host of Evangelicals for Harris. What she's saying there is so unbelievably dangerous, it's hard to even get into all of it. Lucas, you wrote the book Woke Jesus. When she says that it is a power structure, what is that, and why should that alarm those of us that are believers and love the Lord?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first off, this is a Marxist term, right? She is, you know, really, it's sort of a bat signal, if you will, for every dog whistle, for everybody that has a Marxist worldview, an anti-establishment worldview, that they're going to bring them all together. And that essentially, what's the goal of that? When you identify power structures from a Marxist worldview, is you have to have revolution against them. So this is really a call to dismantle anything that to them resembles whiteness, that refers to this, you know, this white hegemony this power structure. And what are they going to do? They're going to tear it down. Now, the reality is that you and I both know that there is no such thing as systemic racism the way that it's, you know, talked about on the left. But essentially what they're saying is that we have to destroy anybody that we believe identifies, you know, with this. And so to bring about this Marxist revolution, this race revolution here, and it divides American people based upon skin color. It divides God's people based upon skin color. And this is, as a Christian, as you said earlier, this is a doctrine of demons, and it's something that we should, you know, condemn right out of the gate. There's no reason that any evangelical in the country should ever side with Harris.
Without a doubt. And so let's address that. We have 2 minutes remaining here. This is David French, who I've met a couple times. And I mean, he's just such a sad, tragic figure, but he gets a lot of ink with the New York Times. So he says, to save conservatism from itself, I am voting for Harris. And it's a picture of a woman praying over a Bible. I don't have the entire op-ed here, but I imagine that his whole argument is one that Donald Trump is unbefitting for the White House, and that we should go for the woman that believes in post-birth abortions and no borders and trans surgeries for kids and sending the DOJ and the IRS after churches. That's the Christian choice or selection. Lucas, your response to not to the, let's just say the David Frenchism, where they say Trump is too mean or he's not godly enough.
Yeah, it's a look at Luke 10, right? It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what you're going to hear is that the reason why evangelicals should vote for Harris is because, you know, we should be kind to our neighbor, and we should love our neighbor, and we should love the alien and the sojourner among us. And so they take, again, like you said, kind of that 5% of the scripture. And the parable in Luke 10 of the Good Samaritan, this was a parable that started with the question of what must I do to be saved? Now, the answer to the question is not be nice. The answer to the question is not to, you know, allow illegal immigrants in. And what Jesus does when he's asked this question is he takes this lawyer that he's speaking with at the moment through a parable called that we call the Good Samaritan, where this guy gets beat up and he's left on the road for dead, and a Levite passes by and a priest passes by. Neither one of them helps him. And then this Samaritan, kind of this person that was sort of an outcast of society, comes by, picks him up, bandages him, puts him on his own donkey, takes him to an inn, and is going to return back to get him. This whole parable is not a parable about being nice to, you know, somebody that is, divergent from you or diverse in some way. This parable is about what Jesus did. He is the Good Samaritan that picked us up, the man that was dying alongside of the road, left dead in our sins, when the Levite, the law, couldn't save us, when the priest, when religion couldn't help us. And he put us on his own, you know, donkey, took us to the inn, which is the church of God. And he placed, you know, this innkeeper, the Holy Spirit, to guide us until his return. This is a parable about the gospel. And this is lost on the Evangelicals for Harris group, from what I found. There was no mention of, as you said, heaven, hell, repentance, no, forgiveness of sin, the basic tenets of the gospel. And so I'm asking evangelicals to actually push into the Word of God. You might have beef with candidates. You might disagree with certain policies. What we're talking about is either liberty or tyranny at this moment in the nation. Bingo. And we have to stand for truth.
Look, it's about worldview. And Donald Trump's worldview is one that is about liberty. It's about a strong country. It's about the protection of every human being. And Kamala Harris's worldview is against every biblical principle imaginable. I'm not going to say, I'm only going to say one part of this. I'm not going to say as a Christian you have to vote for Trump, but I will say that if you are a Christian, you vote for Kamala Harris, that is a desecration to the Lord. I am happy saying that based on her worldview and based on the values that she holds and that she espouses. And if you are a believer and you love the Lord and you want to see this country at least stabilized, let's not even say saved, stabilized from a communist revolution is what we're talking about. You should challenge your pastor and ask them, are they speaking out about these things? Is your pastor at least going through the Ten Commandments? Go through the Ten Commandments. Let's just start with the Ten Commandments. This is not political. This is biblical. If you believe in God, I really think God is on the ballot. I really do. Kamala Harris, everything that Kamala Harris believes in is a hyper-secular society. It's a darker society. It is a crueler society, crueler to the unborn, crueler to children, open borders, sex slavery. Your pastor has a biblical obligation to mention this and speak out about it. Lucas, can you piggyback on what I said there which is if you, we have millions of people that watch this program and praise God that download this and watch on Real America's Voice. They go to churches. A lot of our audience loves the Lord. What are they to do if their pastor is not currently speaking out about this? What influence could the rank and file potentially have trying to convince and persuade and encourage their pastor to be bold in this very important hour?
Earlier today, and I really believe there's three types of pastors. The first type of pastor are true pastors. These are people that have a call from God. They are preaching the full counsel of the word of God. They're saved. They love the Lord. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. The second group of pastors is what I call trembling pastors. Now, these are pastors that they, too, are true pastors, but they've lost their way to a degree. They're afraid. Some of the cares of the world, maybe it's their marriage. Maybe it's the finances. Maybe it's they're worried about church attendance or paying that lease payment on their building. It's gotten in, and they're kind of like Gideon sitting in the wine press, trembling. Almost having an unwillingness to do the full call that God has on them. And they need somebody to come to them and say, rise up, you valiant warrior, get back in the game. And then there's a third type of pastor, and these are traitorous pastors. These are wolves in sheep's clothing that are presenting themselves as if they are pastors to take care of God's flock, but they're really there and they're devouring people and they're introducing false doctrines. And so, you know, if you have to determine which one your pastor is, and if they're that middle category, it doesn't mean necessarily leave the church right away, but you need to get in their lives and you need to speak to them and encourage them and get them back, built back up in the faith, remind them why they're doing what they're doing, take them out to lunch and minister to them, talk to the team, the elders. If you get resistance, then it might be time to move on. But, you know, ultimately, we want to be in churches that have true pastors, that are unafraid, that are bold, that are unapologetical about bringing the full counsel of the word of God, grace and truth. They're not just political junkies. They are people that are serving Christ first and foremost, and somebody who's serving Christ is going to stand against abortion. They're going to stand against, you know, communism and Marxism infiltrating our society. They're not going to back down because they understand what's at stake.
I hope everyone understands the significance and the power of the evangelical for Harris thing. It's easy to discount it, you know, chickens for KFC, all that stuff, which is totally true. I'm trying to find this text message somebody sent me here, which is very important, which is the evangelicals for Harris. They bragged that back in 2020, they were able to move hundreds of thousands of votes in Michigan and for Biden and Georgia. Lucas, this is a real concern that politically they might be able to move 10,000 votes here, 20,000 votes here, that the potency of this is, for example, in 2016, Donald Trump received 72% of the evangelical vote. In 2020, he received 68% of the evangelical vote. Lucas, final thoughts.
Yeah, look, this is a real thing. I mean, this is not, we can't sit back and go, oh, Harris is a joke. She's got no chance. I mean, the left are really good at what they do. They are, you know, truly kind of that grassroots organizer. And so, you know, pastors out there, you have to teach your people how to think biblically. You cannot back down from this. Mm-hmm. Stop worrying about your lease payment, your rent payment, your building mortgage. Stop worrying about, you know, these things. Trust the Lord with this. You don't have to go, you know, some sort of radicalized, you know, position and wear a candidate hat on the stage. Teach your people about these things. Speak out about what is at risk. People say, well, I'm just, you know, that's not my job. Well, you're not going to be able to do your job in Harris's America if we continue to see this. We're going to see, I think, one of the greatest persecutions against Christians today if this election does not really fall on the side of righteousness.
Amen. Lucas Miles, excellent work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Become a member today. It's members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com to get your signed copy of our magnet hat and the MAGA hat right there. You got to love it. Limited edition. Make America great again. This weekend, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to find one new voter, just one. On Monday morning, I would love to have you guys report back and email us freedom@charliekirk.com and say, Charlie, I got my aunt to vote. She otherwise wouldn't vote. Charlie, I talked to my neighbor. He was pro Kamala Harris and I got him to think otherwise. Find one person, one person. That is your task this weekend, to find one human being that otherwise was going to vote for the opposition or not vote at all and get them to either register or commit to vote for Donald Trump. To do nothing is a ticket to tyranny. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.